This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Set me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us. And this show, next week, I'll be coming to you from Phoenix, back in the Salem Phoenix studio. So maybe some of you know, around the end of last year, we moved to Colorado Springs, but the show is still being broadcast in Phoenix, Las Vegas, and now in Colorado Springs. And I love being here in the Valley of the Sun. I love the sunshine. I love the heat. I've been here a couple of days, and I went on a hike in the desert with one of my daughters, and just a really wonderful time. And sometimes when we're walking in the desert, I just stop. We would stop and listen to the silence and just take it in. And that is so healing and refreshing, to be in silence. And we need that today. And where she lives in Florence, in the morning, I'll wake up, and I love it here because it gets... the sun's out at 5:45. We're not quite so in Colorado, but I walk outside. It's quiet. The sun's breaking forth. I can watch the sunrise. And I did that for a good, 30, 45 minutes this morning. And I just came to a place, oh boy, this is so good. The simple things, just sitting in a big park. There's a big, huge swath of green grass, and back in Colorado, we don't have green grass right now. We have still a lot of brown, and the sprinklers aren't even on, but watching the sun come up, and there's a verse in Ecclesiastes that talks about it is good for the eyes to see the sun, and we need things that are healing and refreshing and nourishing today. And spending hours on your phone is not nourishing, it's soul draining. So these are the things we need. Just quiet walks outside. I remember the Bible verse or the scene in the Old Testament where Isaac is waiting for Rebekah to be brought for him, and the words, and I'm not going to look it up right now, but it said that Isaac was in the field toward the end of the day. He was meditating. And I've seen other people say, and I agree, that being able to listen in silence and resting in silence, this is being lost in the church, in many churches, or in the lives of many Christians. And one of the biggest mistakes we can make is just keep going, go, 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 and never slowing down and never stopping and never giving our soul time to recover or rest. We need this so desperately and so badly, the news I have to really take tiny little baby doses of the news these days, because there's just so much that can cause anger or frustration or bitterness. There's so much lying, attacking. I'm talking about attacking people with insults. Someone doesn't agree with somebody, and I'm talking from top to bottom. I'm talking about the very top of government all the way to the bottom. We're all doing this, where taking the gloves off and then going after other people who don't agree with this. And, you know, we can agree to disagree. You get two people in a room, they're not going to agree on everything. It's just not happening. Why is marriage so hard? I mean, you put a man and a woman together from two different families, and put them together and say, till death do your part, and all that comes along with it. It's hard. it does not happen. And sometimes the only way we can move forward in marriage is to agree and to disagree. And that's okay. We're not going to agree on everything. But the tone that has been set from the top in these last years is one of just attack, 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 attack. Anyone that disagrees, and then boom, you're going to get hit. And so you have to take into consideration, how is this going to affect my soul? How is this going to affect me emotionally to keep immersing myself in the 24/7 news cycle and all of the stress and the trauma and the chaos and the, hey, where in the heck are we going these days, which is what I'm going to move into in a moment. Where are we going? Where are we headed? Where the heck are we? But before I get much further, a couple announcements. We have three retreats coming. One on August 28th to 30th. This is what we call our Wife's Heart Retreat. This is for women, for wives who are recovering and healing from sexual sin or adultery or pornography in their marriage. And these retreats are held up in the mountains of Beulah, Colorado. And I've led retreats there before. It's a beautiful place, about an elevation of 6,000 feet. It's a small town. And you're nestled in the mountains, evergreens everywhere. It's a perfect place to get alone and to get away with other people who can relate to what you're going through. And so, ladies, this is for you. I want to encourage you to sign up, come out, and it's a small retreat, so 16 is the max we can have. And I like doing it that way because it's more intimate. When you can get lost in a big retreat, a crowd of, 50 or 100 or whatever, and then it becomes more risky. But we do qualify people. We ask them to put through an application, ask them a few questions. So we do everything we can do to make it safe for you. And we held one wives retreat, and I could tell you, most all the women were terrified, coming to this. And part of that, I'm sure, is the spiritual battle. But at the end, Sunday afternoon, when it was time for them to go home, they didn't want to go home, because they had found healing and rest and peace. They'd encountered God. Saturday afternoon, everybody has time to themselves and encouraged to rest if they want. One woman just crashed for like 3 hours. I think she took a long nap. and then they're encouraged to go get out, take a walk, listen to the Lord, surrender everything, let everything go. This is so healing, and this is so needed right now. And then we have a men's retreat, August 21st through the 23rd, again, in Beulah, Colorado. Guys, this is a safe place for you to come away, to be equipped, to be challenged, to be encouraged. And just like with the wives, we go through down the line. We go through the issues you're struggling with, how to equip you to overcome temptation. We talk about spiritual warfare. Prayer is always a big part of our retreats. Men's, wives, couples, every retreat, prayer is a big part. We spend time praying during retreats. We'll just talk about it. The way we learn about praying is to pray, not just to talk about it. And those retreats are so powerful, I think, for that reason. And then we have a couples retreat coming September 18th to the 20th. Of this year, and this is for couples who, again, are trying to heal from sexual sin in their marriage, whether it's adultery or porn or whatever it is. So again, couples, and we can have a max of 8 couples there. And again, this is at Beulah, and we go through a lot of the same things and communication and how to work together and how to heal. And then Saturday afternoon, once again, you got off to rest, and to each of you go off, spend some time alone with the Lord. And these things are so very powerful. And then we have on Saturday, May 30th, coming up in Colorado Springs, I'm leading one of our From Porn to Grace conferences. It begins at 10 a.m. and it goes to 3 p.m., being held at Springs Lighthouse Church in Colorado Springs on Academy Boulevard. And you can look it up for the address. And I get in these conferences, I get into how porn and sexual sin affect those who immerse themselves in it. I get into what happens to wives and then the healing journey for both men and wives. There are breakouts where we share and pray for each other, because I don't just believe it's a good idea for you to listen to me to talk for 5 hours straight and then get home. You'll forget 95% of what I said, but you will never forget when you're breaking up into a small group of two or three, that other man or woman, we separate them according to gender, who shares their heart out with you, some in tears, and then you pray for them. And this is such an important part of what we do. But and then at the very end, I always love to finish my conferences with everybody praying, and it's always so powerful. So you may be thinking, well, I'm not in Colorado. Well, two options. One, you can fly there. Colorado Springs is not too far from being centrally located in the U.S., and we've had people from other states come to these conferences. Or you can host one in your church. Just contact us. The contact information is at the end of the broadcast, or you can just go to blazinggrace.org at the contact us page. But God's people are hungry for more than just a once every two or three year porn and sexual sin are bad, don't do it. Or a once every two or three year, well, I'm on my verse-by-verse schedule, and maybe in 2028, I think I'll hit sexual stuff. And no, man, when you got a church with 70% of the Christian men viewing pornography at some level and 40% of women and huge numbers of youth, no, we don't wait a year or two down the line. We're called to equip people. We're called to make disciples. We're not a call to just give them a little touch here and there with these issues that so many are in bondage to. I sometimes picture the Apostle Paul coming back and just flipping out and ripping his robe and saying, what are you doing with so many people struggling with these things? And then Pew Research did a survey and found that half of professing Christians see no problem with casual sex. We're really missing the boat here. We're supposed to be making disciples, which means equipping, which means showing them the way out. But it's not just that. It's also, you know, suicide is the second highest killer of teens. Our youth are under assault, and we should be equipping God's people and talking to our youth and helping them understand the intense spiritual battle they're in. So a few minutes ago, I asked the question, where are we headed? And I see a lot of people posting things, you know, like, yay, Jesus is coming, and yay, Jesus is coming. You know, let's do this. But if you read the Bible in Revelation and Matthew 24, there's going to be a lot of pain and suffering and trauma and chaos before he comes. Somehow that message gets lost so often. So I'm just going to read a few verses here from Matthew 24. And the disciples are asking, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered them, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you see a lot of wannabe prophets prophesying things you just know are like out there, and then continuing on, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet here. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation, put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Sometimes I think we Christians are a bunch of wimps, because we get our feelings hurt so easily and so quickly when somebody says something we don't like or disagrees with it. And there will be many who will fall away. And if we're not in that time right now, it's going to be really worse. Many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. We're there right now. There is a shooting at a school. I think I read that 8 kids got shot and killed. I just wanted to throw up recently. And mass shootings are constant in the U.S. We're one of the most violent countries in the world. I hate seeing it. It just tears me apart when I see kids getting slaughtered like this. And then, so one of the key verses here, the love of many will grow cold. That's what's going to happen if you're sitting there obsessing about the 24/7 news cycle and all the lying and hatred and chaos and crap that comes out of that. And they're so unbalanced. One side will be pro the other and won't tell all the truth of the things that their people don't like, and it's the other on the other. It's hard to find out where the truth is unless you go to like 5 different websites. The love of many will grow cold. Where is your heart? But the one who endures to the end will be saved. That's the big piece. The one who endures to the end will be saved. Not the one who spends hours watching YouTube videos or the one who spends more than 2,000 hours a year in entertainment, which the average American does. The one who endures to the end is going to be the one who has deep roots with his relationship or her relationship with God. They're going to be the ones who aren't playing games. They're not playing church. They're going to be the ones when they go to church on Sunday, that's just the cherry on the top of their week, because they've been going hard after God every day, going after him in prayer. God, I need you. God, reveal yourself to me. God, I need you. And then immersing themselves in the truth in the Bible every day, because there's so much lying going on. And there's some even distorted and half-truths going in among the Christian culture. And it doesn't take much to get people off course. There is only one source of the truth, and that is God's Word. And that's where every believer needs to be. But a lot of surveys are showing that maybe 5 to 10% of Christians are reading their Bible every day. That's not good. I'm sure you spend a lot more time than that every day on your phone or on the news or whatever, and that's not good. You need to have biblical input that outweighs all the garbage of this world. And just because somebody's Christian is saying something, it doesn't mean it's always right or they can proclaim that they are. You have to be wise and you have to be discerning right now. Always go back to the truth. I've talked to another people. I do counseling, and I've talked to a number of people recently, and they were in various places of torment because of things other Christians had been saying about their salvation, or want to throw up. One woman told me recently that she'd heard a pastor say, you're always supposed to have a joyful look on your face. You should always have a joyful smile on your face. And I looked at her and said, no! Do you remember the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Do you really think Jesus, when this was in this joy state, when he's bawling his eyes out? That context of that was when Lazarus was dead and everybody was surrounding the grave and he was there. And then there were other verses about where when he approached Jerusalem, he wept. If you only had known the way to peace, but now it is hidden from you. Those aren't joy moments. Those are like, oh my gosh, you've lost so much. Because you're playing games with the Christian life. You're playing church. You're playing Pharisee. You're playing doctrine head. You think that all your Bible knowledge is going to get you through, but your heart is empty and your heart is hard and you're a little better than a Pharisee. And it broke his heart when that happened. And we can really screw things up for other believers if we're not careful with our words. I hate to say it, but this happens quite a bit. Where I'm working with somebody and I have to undo some of the stuff that another believer has said, and like, okay, let's go back to the scripture and let's take a look at the truth. And then an easy counter to this always having joy in your face, Gethsemane. Man, Jesus was sweating blood. He was in such agony and travail. And part of the problem is we modern Christians, we just don't want to know about suffering. We want to know the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And believe me, I rehearse that verse a lot. Still got long COVID, 4.5 years in. And, early mornings, there's many times I'm not feeling good and I choose joy. But Suffering is guaranteed in the Christian life, and some people run away from suffering, and there is a lot of suffering and torment going on in the church today, in God's people today, and we're missing them. There are a lot of people you're sitting next to in church every Sunday, and they're in pain or they're lonely, but you will never know, because what we do on Sundays, we go and we sit, and then maybe we ask, we're invited to say hi to the person next to us, and everybody puts on that fake, silly smile. All of a sudden, you know, they get the smile jeebies, and then they all say, "Hey, how are you doing?" And the other person says, "Oh, I'm doing great. How are you?" And then we're done with that. Then we turn on to the next person. "Hey, how are you? I'm doing fine." And we're all faking it. And I did see one statistic that said that on average, the average American lies once or twice every day. I thought, no, that can't be. That's not me, man. And then I thought, wait a minute. There's been plenty of times I'm in a bad place. And I go to church and I'm not telling you jack. I hate it. And that's not the way church should be. And if you go read the book of Acts, they were meeting constantly. And a lot of those meetings, they weren't, it wasn't under teaching. It was just getting together and praying, the simple things. And so you got to know that some prayer requests are going on there. And so where we're headed, my friends, ever since 2020, it's been dark, getting darker, and it's getting darker by the day. This is not a time to play church. This is not a time to just kind of get our little doctrine hit on Sunday and then go home and then we're done and then we have no prayer life. This is a time we have to grow strong, deep roots in the Lord every single day. I saw one survey that said the average Christian prays 5 minutes a day. 5 minutes a day. And it just, dead man walking. There's just way too much external stimuli in this place. When you're walking in the world, there are way too many sirens and temptations out there that are trying to grab our attention, whether it's just out and about and seeing people dressed and exposing way too much flesh, or whether it's on social media and you're getting bombarded with ads with way too much flesh, or anywhere. You can be on a news website and there will be columns with way too much flesh. And then there's all the lies that are out there. It's not just temptations to lust, it's also the temptation to anger and resentment and the bitterness. And that's one reason, I'm sure, why Jesus said it, the last day, the love of many will grow cold. My friends, we're not moving into a golden era. And when that word was said, those words were said, it was in the context of the economy. But when kids are being shot up at school, when there's wars going on, when the outside world is celebrating the occult and marketing the occult, and Christians are watching some of that stuff, we're not heading into a golden era. We're heading into the times that Jesus talked about in Matthew 24 that I just read, and in Revelation. Go read the book of Revelation and note how in there how many times he says, the one who endures to the end will be saved. By your endurance, you'll be saved. This is such a critical thing we need to be aware of right now. Be very careful with your heart. Be very careful with the things you let in there. And you know what? We've all got this broken flesh. So there's some mornings I pray and it's like, God, I see what's inside of there. I know what's inside of there. I know the lust that's inside of there, the pride and the arrogance that's inside of there, the attacks with fear and all the things that that come along in a day sometimes. And God, help me. God, even be merciful to me, the sinner. And yeah, I am the Son of God, but I also know that I got this flesh. So there's this internal war that every believer faces. And some of that pull, some of those sirens, is to love the things of the world, to love temptation. And so So, my friends, we're in a time where it's so critical that you grow deep roots in the Lord. Don't play games. We're not headed into the best of scenarios, so, but God is with us. You're not alone. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So, thank you for joining us, my friends, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Genung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.